You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
Well, I love you guys. I love Restoration. I was privileged to speak there for your 10-year anniversary. That was delayed multiple times last year. And I know some of you were there and some of you weren't, and that's all good. But we're still friends, so I guess I didn't offend anybody too much. I couldn't even tell you what I went off the rails. There's something about your house that just made me go off the rails. Not that that's uncommon. But I've written out a lot of what I feel like the Lord wants to say today so that I pull back on the bunny trails. Last week, to be honest with you, sure, Maybell says. Come on, honor the apostle. Just kidding. We're family. Last week, I really wasn't feeling well. Not sick-wise, but... Here's the thing. I'm going to be honest with you again. I just want to be honest with everybody in the house. Here's the deal. Like I had an MRI and I have a crushed nerve in my neck, and it affects my right arm. And there's been a few instances where I've been in like a level 127 pain in my right arm. And so what do I do when I see a report that says there's a crushed nerve in my neck that's affecting my right arm? I come into worship and I start waving my arm around. Because I'm just not letting a report inhibit me from doing what the Lord has called me to be. So I expose my humanness before the God of heaven and before the enemy who may wish to attack me. And I'm going to say, hey, his power is perfected in my weakness. This right arm's weak. I'm going to wave that thing around, baby. Now, my wife wishes sometimes that I wouldn't, because there's been a few instances where I go home and I kind of end up in a fetal position on the couch, because she's got to live with the reality of my decisions. But the reality of my decision is that I stand before God and I expose my weaknesses before him so his power can be perfected there. But last week I was feeling a little bit foggy, medication, whatever it was. I hadn't slept well. And so I was just getting ready to text Manny and say, hey, man, I think I need you to pinch hit for me. And it takes me a lot to say that. You guys, now you know, like it takes me a lot. Like there's not a lot that keeps me from functioning. But I was like, this is one of those days. And as I was grabbing my phone, I was looking at it, like painfully trying to make the decision to text him. He texts me and he says, hey man, I forgot I got to do a wedding today. I won't be in the house. So I'm like, here we go. So there was a lot of bunny trails last week, but we landed well. Amen? Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. If you weren't here this weekend, the title of the weekend was Emerge and See. And, you know, sometimes it takes a young guy, youngish, to... go to the older guys and say, hey, we need to shake things up. And so I want to honor Jules. Would you just stand? I know we brought you up, but you just stand. It was the vision of this man, and we just said yes to it. Love you, man. Is your fiance here today? No? She's where? She's at where? Okay, good. Because I was going to say, now you'd have to ask permission from his fiance, but he smells good. Like, so just as you go by, just catch his fragrance. Man, I love you, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So I love the word. And sometimes I title messages and sometimes I don't. I have two titles for this message and I couldn't land on one. They both say the same thing. But today we're going to talk about the name. The longer... title is In the Beginning Was the Name. I love beginnings. We even talked, someone spoke about beginnings. This, I don't know if it was Natalie, it could have been Jewel, it could have been anybody. We were talking about In the Beginning. So I'm going to read this, Genesis 1, 1 through 4. And Genesis really is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Now, the joke is I say that about whatever I'm reading, and I actually mean that. Like, whatever I've read the most recently tends to be my most favorite. But I've been in the book of Genesis now for 12 years. There have been times in those 12 years where daily I read the book of Genesis, like over months. Because you cannot understand the new covenant if you don't understand what happened in Genesis. There is so much of even what is written in the Pauline epistles is Paul is referencing things that happened in Genesis that even the Hebrew people intrinsically knew. So many things that were referenced in the Gospels are in the book of Genesis because there were a Hebrew people that intrinsically knew what these things meant. And if we want to know where we're headed, it's really good to know where we came from. So Genesis 1, 1 through 4, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness." In the beginning, God simply was. One of my favorite Hebrew principles comes out of the Hasidic tradition, I believe, and it may have some crossover, but it's this idea, it's called Sitsum, that in the beginning, that God was all in all. He encompassed all in all. God simply was. And so for God to have a space to create something that was dark and formless and void, he had to contract himself a space within himself that was dark and formless and void. To the rational minds of men, it might appear to be chaos, but in God it was perfect order. Just because something appears to be chaotic in the rational minds of men, it doesn't mean that it's outside of the order of God. When Scripture talks about doing everything decently in order, we got to measure that against what darkness, formless, and void means, and we got to measure that against Revelation 4 and the revelation of Jesus seated on a throne with four living creatures and 24 elders that are casting their crowns down, and his throne is exploding into thunders and light. You got to think about this. All of the best craftsmen in heaven with the best materials ever known in all of eternity, and they fashion this throne and they construct this thing, but when the King of Glory sits upon it, it breaks, it shatters. There's thunders, there's lightnings, because nothing created can contain the glory of God. So you better believe that when he rests on you, there's something going to come out. If his throne can't contain his glory, and we wonder why people move and shake when God comes in the room. We want to say that people got hypnotized. We want to say that it's cultural. Look, I've been around the world, and I've ministered to white people, to black people, to Asian people, whatever color that's supposed to be. I'm not really sure, and it might be, offensive to some, so I'll just stop there. I don't know. Because we're web streaming and I don't want the emails, but if you're offended by anything that I say, email Greta at bridgemetrowest.com. Let me tell you, I've never been interested, just me personally, and maybe because I just, I did my master's and doctorate, but I don't really like school, I'll just be honest with you. So kids, I'm with you. But that there's a whole course called something about culture, I don't know. I mean, missions and culture, understanding culture before, I don't know, I forget what it's called. I was never interested in that because I'm not interested, this is me now. I understand there's a place for that, and if you're a professor in that, good on you. But I've never been interested in the culture of man. I want to stand in the place and see what the Father is doing and say, "Heaven, come down," because I'm telling you, whether I was in a village in Africa or whether I was in Rhode Island, Rhode Island in New England in the 90s, or whether I was in Central America, or whether I was in China, when the King of Glory steps in the room, it all looks the same. And you can trace the trail of revival history until now, and you will find the same stories. What does it look like when 120 people spill out of the upper room and people are like, they are drunk? No. And then Peter, the one man, stands up out of his experience. I bet you he wanted to stay in it. I bet you he wanted to stay drunk in the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure some people would say, well, he was still drunk and slurring his words. I don't think he was. Because sometimes there's something more important than our experience in the moment, and that is to stand up out of your experience, maintaining the same level of anointing and bringing context to people for what God is doing on the earth. God said, upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church. Oh, I'm already off my notes. In the beginning, God simply was, as he had always been, and he had a name. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. Ooh, people are like, oh, that was such a good word today. Let me tell you, I just read scripture loudly and emphatically and with a little bit of excitement. What does the Word say about our God and his name? You're just gonna have to write this down because you ain't gonna keep it up. Isaiah 42, 5 through 9 says, thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord. That is my name. I am Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, and that is my name. I will not give glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Prophets, arise. Amos 5 and verse 8, he says, he who made the Pleiades and Orion and changes deep darkness into morning, who also darkens day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth. The Lord, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, is his name. Amos 9 and verse 6, the one who builds his upper chambers in the heavens and has founded his vaulted dome over the earth. He who calls the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth, the Lord is his name. Zechariah 14 verse 9, and the Lord, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, will be king over all the earth. In that day, the Lord will be the only one, in his name, the only one. And maybe one of my favorites, Exodus 15, 2 and 3, the Lord, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, is his name. Somebody shout unto God with a voice of triumph this morning. I love that they sang this song. I'm no longer a slave to fear, because, you know, God was there, and he parted the Red Sea. And then Jonathan David Helser was there, and he said, you split the sea so I could walk right through it. And then Moses said, hey, that's a pretty good song, but I'm gonna write one better. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. I don't know, they're both pretty good songs, but I think they're gonna be duking it out in heavenly places. But since Moses was on the Mount of Transfiguration, I think he's gonna win. He got one up on him. But my fears were drowned in perfect love. The picture of being chased down by that which chases you, your history, the constraints of your bloodline, the traumas of your past chasing you down. But the Lord splits the waters. He makes a way when there is no way so that you can pass right through. And just when you think your fears have caught up with you, the waters come crashing down and they are drowned in perfect love, because where love is, fear cannot be. This is the song Moses sang after he gained that revelation of the name of God. When you know his name, you encounter his nature. And when you encounter his nature, he brings you to the point of decision. He doesn't make decisions for you, but he brings you to the point of decision. And we did talk a little bit about Holy Spirit yesterday, and I would say that yes, Holy Spirit is a gentle spirit, but he also is God, and the word says that God does whatever he pleases. I have had periods of my life where God imposed himself upon me against my will, and I thank God for that. I am not a Calvinist, but I understand what Calvin was saying when he said irresistible grace. Because there were pockets of time, man. I'll tell you what, the summer after eighth grade, after I decided that I knew everything, I shouted at God on my front lawn. I remember this in front of the window that when I was four, I used to grab my little fireman megaphone toy and I would crack the window and I would preach from the King James Version of the Bible every morning at 6 a.m. until the neighbors called my parents. In front of that window, not too long in the distant future, I shook my fist at God and I said, you gotta leave me alone. Because I was mad because we were moving to New Jersey. You know, when you're a kid, that's a big deal. My life is over, we're moving to New Jersey. And then a couple years later in a little AG church in New Jersey, on a Sunday night service, just a piano player and a vocal. I'm a few years old. I got a few weeks before I'm 50. I got my mama's skin. I look good and I smell good today. Jules. I don't know what I'm going to smell like in a half an hour, but right now I smell good. Yeah, I went there. Sunday night service. See, we were Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. See, my people know this. I didn't get a choice. I didn't have, you know, I was before the talk shows were teaching parents to let your kids make their own mistakes. Because you let your kids make their own mistakes, they will. But see, my Bible says train up a child the way that they should go, that when they are old, they will not depart from it. My eldest brother, it took him a little bit longer than me to come back. But when he got old, he didn't depart from the ways in which he was trained when he was young. And so Sunday night service and worship's happening, and suddenly, and I'm telling you, man, I was trying so hard to be bad and so hard to be angry. I was trying so hard to be hateful. Man, I learned more about, I mean, back in those days in the 80s, you could learn more about the occult from Christian books than you could from occultic books. It was just the fad in that time. Let's talk about Satanism. Let's talk about the New Age. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about that. How about we talk about Jesus and the name that is above all names? And so I was trying to dabble in all of these things, and I had encounters that were not of God. But that night, because I was made to go, and I knew that. I mean, eventually you just don't fight anymore because it's too much energy. You just know you're going. If we don't bring our kids into the atmosphere where the corporate anointing is flowing, where do you think they're going to encounter it? Oh, I feel a righteous indignation rising up in me in that, but that's not my note, so that's a future message. If you're just visiting, then you're safe. If that's you. But I don't want to be safe. Spirit of God was moving on me. We were sitting toward the back. It was really the first time that anybody from the youth group in a couple years, we'd been there for maybe a year and a half, that even asked me to sit with them. And I thought about it and I asked my parents and they said no. And I'm glad they said no, because maybe I would have had a little bit more like chutzpah in me not to move. But I was physically feeling my body move toward the aisle. It was pews, man. It wasn't these 4-hour seats. I'm talking about hard wood pews that if you're in a revival service like that, your bones are just gonna ache from being in the pew. We make it too easy sometimes. And I stood out into the aisle because I had to. And I walked toward the front, and let me tell you what it looks like when an angry teenager walks toward the front down the aisle, literally vibrating under the Spirit. Before shaking was even a thing in the modern revival church world. Like we didn't have social media back then, so we didn't know that how God do. We didn't know that he when he came upon people that you might laugh or you might shake or you might, you know, I had seen the gentle falling down of the charismatic revival of the 70s. And back in the 70s, there were no catchers. We just trusted God. So all you charismatics from the 70s, like you'd be donating your brains to science because you might have CTE or something, but we trusted God. That's not okay. Down the middle, I came, and by the time I got to the front, man, there were probably at least 15 pairs of hands on this kid. And the pain of my heart and my soul began to vibrate and shake its way out of my body. Yeah, maybe it was deliverance. Maybe it was demonic, but sometimes we look at what God is doing on someone and we try to cast out a demon when what he's actually doing is touching people in the place of their pain. You ever find somebody who has an open wound and you know that you gotta pack that wound before they even get a painkiller in them? You better believe they're gonna move. But that's what's necessary to be healed. And I shook and I trembled and I wept and I grabbed the pew, white knuckling, just staring at my hand because I was just trying to make sure that I was still in my body. And I don't know how long that went, but I know that I was a changed young man on the other side. And Pastor Reitzel, old school AG preacher, he looked at me and he said, "I know God did something in you." And I just looked at him and I said, "Yes, sir." I don't even think I said anything because I was blubbering and crying. It was an ugly snot cry. Like that, when I cry, it's ugly. Like it's not like in the presence of God, like people try to inner heal me when the beauty of the Lord comes because they think it's about my earthly father and there must be some pain. No, I just weep in the beauty of the Lord. That's why I feel at home in China, because they just cry all the time when God comes. You know, and Toronto's going, you know, and everybody's laughing, I'm weeping. I literally, in a service, I had someone come up to me and say, "Tell me about your dad." I'm like, "What? I'm just trying to worship." When you encounter his name, you encounter his nature. When you encounter his nature, he brings you to the point of decision. And yes, sometimes God typically operates in a way that is gentlemanly. And he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And sometimes he just kicks the door in. Because the word says, "I am the Lord." And the word says, the Lord does whatever he pleases. And when he's after you, he's after you. How many people have ever had a period in your life where you just know that God was after you? Come on. It was like a dozen, and a few of you that just, I know lifting your hand is really, it's like calisthenics on a Sunday morning. Hey, just be glad that I'm not threatening to tase you, because that was before web streaming. Once we started web streaming, I started threatening the body a lot less. It's mostly just to amuse myself, but But here's the thing that happens when you come to a point of decision. There's something that happens in Scripture, and you'll find it dotted throughout Scripture. It's this Hebrew word, hanani. Yes, Maybell, I knew you were going to respond to that. And it simply means, here am I. And when you say, here am I, like Moses said, here am I, or your version might say, here I am, it's the same word. When you say that to God, you don't know what you just enlisted yourself to. When Isaiah said that to God, he didn't know what he was being sent to. He didn't know what the mission was, but he was so enraptured by the name and the voice and the nature of God in a moment that he understood that what he was looking at was better than any momentary affliction that he might endure on the way. That's what the presence of God does. So when you come near to his face, you simply cannot live life the way you lived it before, because no man, no nature, no identity, whether it be chosen or imposed upon you, can survive the nature of the skin of his face and the radiance of his being. His nature overtakes your nature. His power is perfected in your weakness. His grace is sufficient to overcome every shortcoming, every constraint, again, of your bloodline, every influence, whether it be a demon or a disease, for he connects you to a new destiny, which is only found in him as we walk toward his name and his face. So what was the name that God gave Moses to use to influence the governing authorities of the earth? Our Bibles translate it, I am that I am. The Hebrew word for that is Hayah. Now, this is funny. We were musing about this week because, you know, back when, you know, revival days, we would see people like manifesting the Spirit or whatever. And all over the place, I saw some people walking around going, Hayah. And some of them was like, you know, what is this, like a, you know, Holy Spirit ninja? I don't know. You're coming subvertly to sneak in and assassinate the enemy? I don't know what that was. I got a chuckle out of it because I never did that. I didn't go, hi-ya. I just said, hi, yeah. How you doing? As close as I got. But here's the interesting thing. This word, hi-ya, it's a verb of being. And in this particular sense and in this particular tense, there is a way that this word is written where you don't find it in other places. There's something called a reversing vav in the name. And it says, so what that does is it changes this tense of the verb of being, and it makes it past, present, and continuous. So God came to Moses and said, I was, I am, and I will be for all time. You tell Pharaoh that this guy sent you. And Moses would be like, I went to school when I was a kid, but when I was diagramming sentences, that tense of that verb really never came up. But where else do we see this verb of being, this word, hiya, hiya? Where else do we see the breath of God breathing his name to show himself in the manifest reality of our present and continuous lives? We all have a history. We are all the next man up, the next woman up in our generational line. We all came from a womb, a dark place. We were all birthed into light, but there was pressure in the process. See, sometimes we're in a comfortable place, and so God says, I'm going to birth something new in you. And we get really excited. If you get all those prophetic words, oh God, I see a womb, and God is going to birth something new in you. Well, you better get ready. Because the most catastrophic thing that happens to a baby after 9 months is birth. because they don't want to be out there. They want to get back in there. It's warm and there's water and there's fluid and they're hooked up to a tube. They don't have to chew. They don't have to reach for anything. It's 98.6 degrees out there. I've never been in a birthing room. I'm so sure some home birth moms might do this, but I've never been in a hospital birthing room. I've only been in one, to be clear, but in the one that I was in, it was not 98.6 degrees when Riley came out, and he was not happy. He was birthed into light, and the atmosphere in which he was birthed into was not the same atmosphere that he had came up in. And there was pressure in the process. I still got it on video. So where else do we see this verb of being come to light in the scriptures? Genesis 1:3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, I've looked at this for years, and what I'm going to say to you, I might be paddled, even maybe, well, not by my rabbi friend, because he didn't paddle me for anything, but, you know, theologians might come in and say, well, I don't necessarily agree with this, but I'm telling you, I've looked at this for years. And what we have in this verse 3 at the very beginning is this word haya. But the tense is present continuous. It's God speaking. Now, we translate it as let there be light, but that's because we have a hard time embracing mystery. And you know, in religious circles, we like when we pray, we like to say things, God, let us come together and reason. Just like we translate, you know, the Lord's Prayer, or what we call the Apostles' Prayer, because Jesus, it wasn't really his, Jesus knows how to pray. The apostles actually asked him, the disciples asked him, how do we pray? And then he showed them that prayer. So it was really their prayer. It wasn't his prayer. He was giving it to them. He's like, do this. And we say, let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done. But that's not what Jesus was saying, because that's not what he said in the beginning. He was making a declaration. He said, kingdom come, your will manifest on earth as it is in heaven. It was an imperative statement. Just like in the beginning, the voice of God said, be light. And light was, because the King of Glory gets his way. And so he's showing us that he accessed something that was not, in a space that was formless and void and dark. And he spoke an aspect of his name into darkness, and light came, because where his name is, light is. Perfect love casts out all fear. There's nothing you can do about it. But he couldn't say the name that he gave to Moses, because he wasn't going to speak a nature into darkness that was equal to himself. And so he had to cut it off and say, this light is present and continuous, and it is good, because it will be necessary to procure light and life for generations to come. That's the goodness of God. It's not just, oh, that's good. It's that God created the potential for us to pass down his goodness from generation to generation, meaning that we are standing upon the generations of intercession that have gone before us. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing different happening today that hasn't happened in generations past, I'm telling you. But we are standing now because someone else decided to sow their lives into something that they may never see the fruit of, and we get to stand upon the foundation of those revivals, of those movements, and of those old lady intercessors praying in their homes that never got a name or fame. Let there be light. He just said, be light. You look it up in the Hebrew. He took a piece of the name that he was going to reveal to Moses in his time of uncertainty. And in the beginning, he said, be and continue to be light. It wasn't that same I was and will be. It was different. He couldn't duplicate himself in that space because he is eternal. Light is created. And there are people on the earth that worship the light. People all around the earth that are worshiping the created when we have access to the Creator. And when He created light, he called it was good. And not because it was pretty and not because it was warm, but again, because it was necessary to perpetuate life on earth. The goodness of God unfurled in the beginning and has been unfurling ever since. You are the goodness of God. Because there is the potential within you to release life to the next generation. Physically, spiritually. When you say yes to Jesus. But in the beginning, remember, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. John is writing to a Hebrew people who believe the Torah scroll is the Word of God. The rest of the scriptures are God-breathed. The Torah scroll is the Word of God, and they revere it much in the way that maybe we ought to revere the Word more than we do. The rest of the scriptures are God-breathed, God-inspired. That is the spiritual light that breaks through the darkness. He is saying to the Jewish people of the day, in the beginning was this Torah scroll, and this Torah scroll became flesh and walked among us, and you missed it. But it's not too late. Jesus, Yeshua, the Anointed One, was there in the beginning. He came to earth to be the mouthpiece of the Father, and I believe He was the voice of God in the beginning. His name, His nature, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto Him, and He said, be, and light came. He spoke His name in darkness, and He has been doing that ever since. Are you in a dark place? The voice of God is speaking, be. Into your darkness, so that now He does it to you, but even better, He does it through you. You want to talk about personal destiny? There it is. His name is not small. It is not two-dimensional. It's not a stamp that you put on at the end of a prayer. His name is mighty. His name is glorious. Every curve of every letter coursing with power, the power of creation, the power of resurrection. His name, in the name of Jesus, Yeshua, the Anointed One, we stand. And in the name of Jesus, Yeshua, the Anointed One, we pray. And in the sacred space of the name of Jesus, we do have victory. We do have salvation. We do have healing. We do have deliverance. Allow Him to speak His name in your darkness and you will be born into light again. But there will be pressure in the process. I'm still waving this right arm, Justin. And let me tell you, if it doesn't work out when I get home, I got pills. Just being real. You know, have enough faith, brother. Okay, I'm still taking a pill. If I need it. But Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So you got to understand how the name and the names come together. But why did God say to Moses, in this instance, I was, am, will be? Because there's a manner in which God can speak His name into darkness. There's a manner in which God can speak His name so that past situations, circumstances, conditions, and environments no longer exist. As a matter of fact, this word hayah, this verb of being, there are tenses in the Old Testament Hebrew, the first covenant Hebrew, in which that's exactly what it means, that something comes into existence in such a way that past conditions are no longer relevant. When you understand what God is doing in the first covenant, then you will understand the beauty of the second. The earth was formless and void, was. And then this aspect of His name, He spoke to Moses. And your past life was, your sin was, your trauma was, your abuse was, the abuse and neglect that you gave out was, but it is no more because you've encountered my name. Yeah. Amen. Good work. everything that Moses was up until that time was irrelevant. God, I can't do this. I'm not well of speech. I don't have the goods. I've just been a shepherd for the last 40 years. I don't know how to, what am I to go? I was and will be. Is that enough for you? Can you imagine your greatest spiritual experience that you think that you've ever had, but God, the Father, the one who is known as Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh Elohim, steps down into your existence and he breathes in the natural sound of the air his name. You better believe you're shaking and quaking. I said quaking, but I meant quaking. I've been making up words again, applicable words. If you were here this weekend, then you got to hear me. If you just add like another syllable to any word, you just instantly get smarter. Your past is no more. This is what the Lord is saying to you today. Your past is no more. Stop worshiping that thing. Stop holding on to that thing. Your life, it was as if it was formless and void, rudderless, no plan. The spirit of offense struck the man, and you hid from the face of God. Did God really say? Man, we like to blame the enemy for a lot of things, but he usually just does one thing and he just steps back and watches humanity spin off like tops. And we're thrown by what's happened in the last 18 months. Imagine Israel on year 268 of 400 years. Imagine Israel on year 38 before they go into the promised land. Imagine Israel on year 68 before they get freedom from exile. That's what it means to live in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's not so that we can have a party in Jesus' lap. It's so that he can give us this grand strategic perspective outside of our timeline and enables us to endure the momentary. And then you get to speak his name into dark places and dark spaces. Your life, formless, void, rudderless, no plan, no purpose. You have an idea, you have a word that was spoken over you, but you're just continuing to spin around in circles. No determination to walk toward the destination of his face in spite of what this world brings. Jesus said, you know, bad things are going to happen, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. He never promised us an easy ride. Unless you are born of water, when you are born, there's pressure. You ever see a baby's head when it comes out of the womb like that? There's pressure. But even in your life, I don't care, man, Abram was 99 years old when God said, walk before me and be blameless. Literally, walk toward the skin of my face and my nature will overtake yours and you will become tamim, blameless like the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. Only God can do that. At 99, I'm 49 and I'm found myself looking at convertibles this year and I've already got a pretty good wife, so I don't. She's good Polish stock. She hurt me if I try to run away. Okay, I'm reeling it back in, Debbie. I'm doing that just for you. I want to say, because I feel it. I feel rudderless lives in the room this morning. It's not, there's no condemnation. You're still in Christ. You're still in him. There's no condemnation. Romans 8:1, for those who are in Christ Jesus. But I can feel you vibrating right now. Because the name the name that is above all names, the only name by which we can be saved, delivered, healed, and empowered to perpetuate future life as we overcome by the blood of the Lamb that happens to us, but the word of his testimony, that is what comes through us. The word says we overcome by the blood. Sometimes we're waiting for a charismatic magic trick to get us out of our circumstance when the prescription for overcoming is already in the word. You got to receive, but you gotta speak it. It doesn't matter what side of the bed you woke up on in the morning. It doesn't matter what your mood is or what that personality test told you that your personality is like. I got a call from my friend in Nashville and he says, well, what do you think about it, the Enneagram? And I said, well, I don't know. I just know that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And I've been told that I'm an introvert, but I gotta get up every Sunday morning, even though I'm not a morning person and I'm not a people person in the morning. And even my wife, she likes to talk as soon as she wakes up, and I like to hide and drink coffee. But now I gotta come and speak to a couple hundred people on a Sunday morning, because God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. He didn't look at Paul David and say, oh, he's an introvert, he can't lead. You better believe I'm gonna hide in my man cave this afternoon. And there's a handy dandy feature on my phone called DND. Do not disturb. You got a crisis? We enable you for the work of the ministry, and there's a couple hundred other people in this room that you can call. And they got a checkbook too. I'm not trying to be mean. That's not any of you here. I'm just saying. Maybe it's one of the online people. From Genesis to Revelation, it's always been about the name. And when you pray from the name, we pray a lot of things and we just put in Jesus' name at the end of it. And we think, oh, that's good. That's in Jesus' name. I prayed it, now it shall be. No, his name occupies space and time in our timeline. So when his name is on the move, you got to stay inside the name. And you look around and you see what God is doing inside his name. And then you speak that, you declare that, you pray that, and surely that will come to pass, because it's already in his name, because his name is his nature. It's not a rubber stamp that we put on the end of the prayer. It requires intimacy. It requires proximity. It requires you to walk toward his face, whatever that means for your soul life, and trust that he is sufficient for you, and his grace will carry you where your energy will not. So today, would you step inside the name and pray from a place, instead of trying to reach up and grab it? Would you stand with me? Today, would you step inside the name? Would you say, here I am, before he even tells you what the mission is? Let me tell you one quick story. It's a pastoral quick. And then we're going to release you or something. And I was talking to this young man about some things that happened to me in some hostile foreign lands. I didn't tell him this story. I've told this story to the house, they've heard it, but I was ministering way up in the mountains in Transkei, which is this region in South Africa that's a tribal region. And we had to take a truck that was, you know, we had to go off the road. I don't know how many, maybe 2 hours driving off road to get up the mountain into this village where they had never seen a white guy. Now, some of the young men had come into the prophecy. What happens there is that the young men leave the villages and they go into the townships and they work the diamond mines. And once they see money, they don't want to go back to the village. But they do come back usually in December. I won't get into that and what happens there. But a lot of not good things happen. And so in this village, my translator, Lawrence, who just passed away within the last year, it's a dear, I mean, he was a 50-something year old child of God who made mistakes and stumbled along the way. But man, he was a really good translator. As far as I know, I don't speak the language. We went house to house and we prayed over different people. One lady got healed and word travels fast. They don't have phones there. I don't know how that happens. I didn't see anybody running around, but somehow already the witch doctor of the village found out. And so she called me to her house. We went over there and she wanted me to do this prayer thing over her nephew because he was being visited by demonic entities. We prayed over him. I don't know if he got free or not, but I just thought it was cool that the witch doctor asked me to come to her house. She had all of her little herbs and drugs and spices or whatever she does, and I just looked at her and smiled. We did the meeting that night. You do the meeting, you get like one candle. We got lights that freak out every time the breaker anointing comes in the room. I'm telling you, it's weird. We did the whole flashy thing. We didn't plan that. That just they just break. They break dance. I don't know what that is. We don't know. We're gonna fix it though. It's kind of cool, but it's a little annoying. We're gonna fix it. So we do this meeting, and when you go do these meetings, like I just forget about culture. No matter what nation I'm in, I just look at them and say, hey, we're just family. And then they look at you weird because they're like, what? How are we family? Well, let me tell you. And I just share a testimony. I share my life. I share my heart. I spend time because that their love language of that culture is just time. Just hang out with them, be with them. They're just happy that you're there. They have no idea about America. We describe America by saying it would take me 30 days to drive in a bucky, that's their word for pickup truck, to get from where I live to where they are. That's what they understand. It's deep, I'm telling you, deep. And I got to the end of my testimony, and then I began to break off into prophetic prayer, and I just began to speak in tongues. Lawrence, he just starts speaking in tongues. Now, I didn't have a problem with my right arm yet, but I know I was waving it around in the darkness with one candle light in this large dung floor hut. And let me tell you, when they like you, they spread fresh dung on the floor. I've been liked a lot there. And I have mixed emotions about it. But nevertheless, I'm in there. And then I prayed something I had never prayed ever in my life in that moment. It just erupted out of my mouth. And I said, in the name of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh Elohim. And as I said it, it was like the room went into slow motion. And I saw Lawrence's face turn in the candlelight in this expression of, what the heck did he just say? And everything slowed down, but at the name of, it's gonna mess a little bit because it wasn't the name of Jesus, Yeshua, but if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. In the name of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh Elohim, the room exploded. I'm telling you, bodies went flying, shrieks from the oldest to the youngest, demons, mass deliverance. Jesus stepped into the room, and every person in that village, except for two, received Christ that day. That's the name that we're stepping inside of. And when you're inside the name, he will cause you to see the things that you are to say in the moment if you have the boldness to release it. Would you step inside his name today? I don't care if you've been saved for a day or 40 years. You may be here right now and you've never said yes to Jesus. You might be online and you've never said yes to Jesus. Maybe you were, I don't care if you were brought up in church. There are people all over the church that they, you know, I walk by Jules and I can catch the fragrance of him and it's nice. But it doesn't mean that I know his name. It doesn't mean that I know his heart. There are people that have been going to church for years where you got the goosebumps, you caught the fragrance of God passing by, but you never stood in inside his name. You just came and you left the same way that you came. But when you draw near, he says, behold, I make all things new. All things have passed away. Behold, all things in your life are new. And he will cause you to see in a way that you've not seen before. In the midst of our global circumstances, I was, I am, will be God. Would you step inside the name today? And just by saying that you will, would you raise your right hand into the air? Now, if you're saying this for the first time, we're gonna pray a prayer together. And keep your hands up, man. We got endurance. We can do this. If I can do it, you can do it. I'll do it with you. If I can use my right arm, you can use your right arm. Let's just take a moment. For those of you who are in Christ, yeah, just begin to pray in the Spirit. We're stepping inside the name. We're stepping inside the name. The name that is holy, the name that is righteous, the name that is consecrated unto himself, the name that puts his nature on display, the name that invades the darkness with light, the name by which demons shriek and flee, the name by which lives come from death unto life, the name that perpetuates life, that plants a seed into the darkness. He's planting the seed into the darkness of your circumstance right now. Would you cultivate the ground? Would you cultivate the ground of your life? Would you cultivate the ground of this land? God is waiting for a generation. God is waiting for a generation in the synergy of the generations. The young that honor the old and the old that would raise up the young. No battle between the two. It's not a culture clash. It's just family being family. Would you cultivate the ground? Cultivate the ground. Cultivate the ground. New England is crying out for you. Creation is crying out for you. Oh, stand inside the name. Here am I. Here am I. Here am I. Here I am and send. Here I am and send. Here am I and speak. Here am I and breathe. Oh God, my God, nothing is too difficult for you. Now put your hand over your heart, just because I feel gracious and I want to give you a break. We're going to pray this prayer together, man, because people are coming into the kingdom today. Would you pray after me? God, I want to know you. I accept your gift of life to me. I accept Jesus' death and his resurrection from death that reversed the curse of sin and death in my life. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I turn from my way and I turn towards your way. Would you please reveal your love to me now? And I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, from Jesus' name, I pray. Holy, 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 holy. Now put your hand over your belly. Did you say, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. I receive a fresh baptism of your fire and a fresh baptism of your love. This day, I say, I step inside your name. What you see is what I see. What you say is what I say. And what you do is what I do. Here am I. Send, send, send in Jesus' name. Now, Holy Spirit, I seal this time together with fire.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.